You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Mistress of None. This is Erin Harkes. I'm going to keep my intro and outro pretty brief this time around. I say that, but then I'll start rambling and forget where I am. But tonight I am actually headed down to New York. I'm going to be there for a few days to do some sets, do some comedy at a few different places. I'm excited to kind of act like a real live comic for a little bit. It's funny. It came about last month when my show at the Funny Bone got canceled. I had this moment where I could have either quit everything and just gone to work for somebody else and given up everything completely. And believe me, I was very close, or maybe I was just being dramatic, or I could really kind of go for it in a sense and just really put myself out there. And like the masochist that I am, I decided to just go and, you know, do a bunch of shows and kind of see what it's like. I don't know that I would ever be able to move to New York. I feel like maybe I'm too old, but it's good to get a taste of what it's like to be a working comic in New York and, you know, see how that goes. So that's what I'm doing tonight after my kids' open mic. If you're listening to this, it's already happened, but it's the first Sunday of every month at EMAC and Bolio's. I'm doing an open mic for kids. So one of the things I wanted to talk about before we get to my interview was I've been trying to figure out for a while. I know I've mentioned it ad nauseum multiple times, but I've been talking about how I stopped doing the cover shows for the most part and just kind of, you know, refocused my energy towards the other stuff. And the thing that I was trying to figure out was why, like what changed, what shifted, what happened. And I don't think it was any one particular thing, but I was playing a house party yesterday and it went very well. We had a really great time and I'm starting to do those a little bit more. And I kind of figured it out. And before the pandemic, I was starting to get sick of some of those shows, the ones where I play, where people aren't really paying attention. And for a while, it didn't really bother me. You know, it paid well. I didn't really care. And it wasn't good enough anymore. It wasn't something that I enjoyed doing. And I was starting to get sick of it. And I was like, oh, maybe it'll pass. And it didn't. It passed. And then the pandemic hit. And I didn't play in front of any other human beings for over 3 months. And my first show, and I use air quotes, my first show was I was going to do my happy hour, my online happy hour. And I, at the last minute, it was a beautiful day. It was like unseasonably warm already. It was the end of May, like very, very warm. And I messaged Matt Baumgartner at June Farms and I said, can I just set up outside there and just record from there? And he said, absolutely. And I did it, and I didn't promote it because I didn't want to, you know, be a super spreader or anything. But I messaged a few people to tell them that that's where I would be. And I have video of it. And it was funny, the very first song when I finished it and people clapped, you could see my face just like it felt really good to have that back and have that connection with people. And I could have cried. It was really a wonderful moment. But then it was immediately followed up with one of the seven people that were there during the second phone pulled out her phone during the second song, pulled out her phone and started like doing something on it. And that happens a lot, but in this particular instance, it really hurt. It really bothered me. And I think that might've been one of the moments where I was like, you know, I hate to admit that I need that kind of undivided attention, I guess. Or at least when I can see you, don't actively like do something else and ignore me. It's not like, you know, I'm going to be up there all day. But I think that that just really is what started to kind of get to me. And then I, as much as I say that I hate to admit it, I also think that there's an element of like, you know, I shouldn't apologize for wanting people to pay attention to something that I've created, to pay attention to what I consider my art. And I don't think that that's too much to ask. And so, yeah, in the case where I'm playing, you know, at a bar with like TVs on and I'm not the focus, then yeah, by all means, you know, play Wordle, play, you know, Farmville or whatever the fuck, Candy Crush. I don't even know. Message your friends, check Facebook, scroll, do whatever you want. But in certain settings, you owe it to the person that you came to see and to the people around you to pay attention, I think. And I don't think that that's too much to ask. That's why I've like, you know, started doing more of these listening room vibes, because I don't expect people to adapt to me. I'm going to adapt and play more of those places. Last week I played the 443 Social Club in Syracuse, and it was just, it's just a beautiful thing. It's just really lovely to have people engage. And furthermore, I have a lot of people ask me like what got me started in comedy, and what got me started in comedy was the music, and it was environments like that where I got people to really pay attention and engage with me. And I started to talk, and it ended up being funny. And, you know, you do the math. So, I guess that's all I have to say about that. You get it. I don't need to go on and on and on like I always do. But this interview was a lot of fun because I got to meet with one of my favorite musicians. I have adored him for over a decade now, ever since the first time I heard him play. May or may not have a little bit of a crush. It's fine. It's healthy. It was very obvious if you saw us playing together at Cafe Lean at Lena Go Round. He was on round two. He's a phenomenal human being and a very talented musician. And I just had a really great time talking with him. And I think that that is evident in the interview. So check it out. This is John Glenn, Like the Astronaut. He's incredible. Enjoy the interview. I'm Erin Harks. This is The Mistress of None, and we'll be right back with John Glenn.
You're listening to The Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to The Mistress of None. I am Erin Harks. With me this evening is my good friend with the big microphone, my buddy, John Glenn. John, how are you?
Great. yeah, the big microphone. It sounds like you're implying I'm compensating or something.
I would never, ever imply anything of the sort. Maybe I'm using this as a method to get people to watch the video on YouTube, but if you do, you will see that John has obviously planned this just to emasculate me in some sense. I think I know why. It's because I fangirled really hard at Cafe Lena when you played on my Lena Go Round show.
Are you kidding me? I love that. First of all, I loved bringing that song out of the deep depths of the past.
The acoustic version was more than I could have.
And then
hoped
singing
for.
Along together, I loved every bit of that.
Thank you. I watched a lot of video, and I was just like, "Oh my God, Erin!" Like I might as well have been wearing like the City Never Sleeps T-shirt that had clearly been washed 87,000 times, you know. But there's this one clip that I have to send you later that just made me laugh, because I don't know if I made a noise or something, but you turned like partway through the song and you like laughed, but I was like, like such a goober.
I think it was because the bridge was coming up, and I was like, "Oh shit, this is the part."
It was in the bridge.
Yeah,
yeah.
The I know.
Away in your basement, baby. I must have gone like, anyway, be professional, Erin. So, John, for those of you that do not know John Glenn, John has been a musician in the Capital Region for well over a decade now. His first incarnation that I'm aware of was a band called The City Never Sleeps, which then changed their name to Stellar Young. Mm-hmm. And now John performs as...
As
like the astronaut.
The astronaut, yeah.
Because his name is John Glenn.
Like
the astronaut. Yeah. So, and Stellar Young isn't necessarily.
Yeah, we're still doing. And in fact, we're going to be playing a show at the Linda. It's billed under Like the Astronaut, but it's going to be with Eric Flora and Tim Brosnan And we have intentions of getting back out there as Stellar Young. It's just been tough.
Well, so. Did you guys like stop playing regularly? Not that there's no real regular or unregular or whatever, but I know that a lot of you guys kind of all of a sudden got married and had babies, and that usually takes some time away from being able to perform.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a culmination of things. You know, that was kind of bubbling under the surface. You know, there was engagements and pregnancies happening. And then also the pandemic happened. We had done this, the New Year's Eve show at the Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
This was turning into 2020, right? And that was like the last show we played for like over a year.
Ugh.
And then once that momentum kind of stops, it's like that much harder to, you know, bring the whole gang back together.
Absolutely.
Get
yeah.
the shows rolling. So.
Yeah. I remember when, like I was wondering if it was like a rivalry between you and Eric, like when, you know, one of you like had a kid, the other, like he had his son first, right?
Yeah. He had Connor, 3 years ago.
Is he three?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. And your daughter, you don't have to say her name if you don't want to. I don't know if you're
Isla. Yeah, it's public,
okay.
I think.
I don't know, you know, paparazzi and whatnot. I want to protect your anonymity or your daughter's anonymity. You, I want to make famous, but, and she's just over one now.
She's turning one on April Fool's.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah. All right. She's very, very cute.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to meet her at, I just came from Kiki's house. She said to say hello and I love you. I told her
love
that
you,
I
Kiki.
Wouldn't, but but she was like, you know, oh yeah, we have play dates with John's kid, and that makes me like, I don't know, I can't have a baby. Can I get a pet or something so I can get in on these
just
hangs?
Just come hang out anyway. You don't even need it.
Go with like a doll and a stroller and some empty cans. Yeah. You know, it'll
we're
be
just,
completely
we're just
fine.
Be the fun aunt, you know, hanging out.
Be like, hey guys, I brought my baby. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so we got to play the Lena Go Round show, and you know, you did one of your classics from the Stellar Young. Actually, that was The City Never Sleeps. That was a very old song, very deep cut. And then you played the newer ones, such as Blueberries.
Yeah.
Which is just such a beautiful song. That whole album is beautiful.
Thank you.
We actually arranged this because I finally got around to listen to the record that I bought that night back in December. Mm. I just now got my record player out and working, and I didn't know that I had it on the wrong RPM setting. And I was like, I don't know how to tell him that this is horrible. I can't listen to this. It's scaring the shit out of me. And then I was like, wait a minute. And I was like, there it is. There's John's voice. So. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what started the new incarnation, the Like the Astronaut.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Well, let's travel back in time a little bit. And just a warning. I'm gonna be fully honest and open, and it can be a little heavy.
Okay.
But it was summer of 2022,
mm-hmm.
and my father was. Really, they had found bladder cancer.
Mm.
He had done a few treatments for that. They did like a PET scan, I think that's what it's called, where they scan the body. And they found that his cancer had spread to like every bone of his body.
Ugh.
And they gave us like a time frame.
Yeah.
And it's this weird thing because, I don't know, my initial reaction was denial.
Of course.
He'd had a lot of kind of scary things in the past, and you know, he's always been okay. So we just kind of had this, ticking clock. I'm also a teacher, so I had the summertime off. So I was just trying to get as much time to visit with him as possible. And around that time, we found out that Katie was pregnant. And there was just so much that I couldn't say it. I still struggle to kind of say to process.
I can pick up on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
which
it's
makes sense. That's the very definition of bittersweet.
Yeah.
It's like the worst news ever and the best news ever at the same time.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And it was so early on too that, you know, a lot of people they recommend don't share the news too early because you could have a miscarriage and you don't want to, you know.
Almost like a jinx.
Right.
Yeah.
And I, so anyway, point is I just had a lot of stuff bottled up and I had no outlet and I just took to what I know best. I just have always kind of gravitated towards music when I struggle to like say things that I'm feeling, you know? And so I had this guitar. I had treated myself to like a new effect pedal that I was really, it was like a harmonizer. And I just sat in the room and I was just like playing these songs. And at first they just, you know, a lot of it just was more like the sounds, the chords, the feelings, and then trying to find the words. And next thing I knew, I had a whole bunch of this music, just kind of little snapshots of that time, you know? And I reached out to Dave. And
tell
I said,
the people who Dave are.
And Dave Parker.
Who Dave is.
Dave is he's our producer for Stellar Young. He was bass player. He's phenomenal. He is the guy that I always go to when I have this like kind of song vision and need it to be like made into what he does. I mean, if he's phenomenal at what he does. I call him like a wizard. He's like a wizard of the sound world. He can just like he can do analog synthesis and he can track all kinds of. He's just the best. He's the best. So I reached out to Dave. I was like, Dave, I have all of these songs that I want to record. Can we work on this project? And I sent him some of the demos that I was working on. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So we started building like a schedule where I'd come in regularly and we chip away at it, throw in some ideas. And we eventually reached out to Kyle, who was the guitarist for Stellar Young.
Kyle Hatch.
Mm-hmm. He came in and he put on some guitar work. And he actually reached out to Josh Eppard, who is a drummer, who is a friend of Dave's, who's also a drummer for Coheed and Cambria. Mm-hmm.
Does he go by the name Weird Science on Instagram?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yep. He's also a rapper. Check him out. He's super talented in so many ways. And he came in and he put on some drums. And the next thing you know, we just kind of over time had made these songs and had them recorded and we just put it out.
That's great. It's a great album. On the proper RPM. It's a great album.
Yeah.
It really did scare me.
So that's a funny story too. It's a short, it's only 5 songs, you know, it's an EP. And I very much wanted to get it on vinyl, because I've been collecting vinyls of albums that I grew up listening to that I'd loved. And when I sent it out to the vinyl spot, they were like, being the length that it is, we should do it as a 45 because it'll be a higher quality pressing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's not the common RPM, but okay.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, if it's your recommendation.
Yeah, we're not doing anything common with this right now. Why not throw in another... Yeah. Obstacle or whatever, right. But no, it's great. I've been doing the same thing. I've recently, like, I'm trying to get away from watching stuff on my iPad when I'm doing work in my office. And so I redid my office and made it cleaner and more neater and comfortable and painted and hung curtains and all that shit. And I set up my record player.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the past few years, like just stopping in random record stores and seeing what I can find. And there's like, you know, I definitely have my mark set on certain artists and certain albums. Like I'm very particular about what I don't need a whole record collection because I'm not going to sit in there all the time and do that.
Right.
And if there's something that's already in my phone, like, honestly, I'm just not, you know?
Yeah.
So I have mostly Tom Waits, who is just
Yeah.
One of my favorites. And the first one that I got was the early years. Mm-hmm. And so listening to that on vinyl, that was kind of what prompted me to want to get like as many of his records. And like my favorite one of his is Small Change. It was like the first one of his that I ever heard. And I finally was in this like record store in Philly, like on a whim. My husband and I sat for breakfast and he was like, "You want it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, let's check." And I looked for the 100th time and I'm like, "I'm never." And like, there it was. And I was like screaming that I found Small Change. And yeah, I've listened to it so much since then. There's just something about like, I don't want to sound like a hipster when I say it, but there's just something about listening to something on vinyl that it just, it's a whole different experience. It really is. And I got Fleetwood Mac Rumors, which is just like one of the best albums of all time. And just like listening to that. And it's just, and not with the headphones either, just letting it like fill the room is just, I don't know. It's great. So to have, it's also available on like iTunes and Spotify, but
yeah. So it's available digitally. So iTunes, Spotify,
but the only hard copy is
on vinyl.
That's awesome. Yeah. And what is the name of the album?
The name of the album is Moments Before.
Moments Before. So, and are you on there as Like the Astronaut?
As Like the Astronaut.
Okay. Well, that's easy enough. And I'll make sure to tag and everything so that people can look that up because it is a really phenomenal album. The best part about that night when we were all playing was the stories before the songs, and especially how like you would have thought that you and Girl Blue had planned it, the way she had the story about, you know, she was pregnant. She's still pregnant, but you know, and she had her story about, you know, being basically, you know, like the mother's mother kind of thing. What the whole, how did she put it?
Like, so the, when the mother is developing, in particular, a girl baby and she had found out that it was a girl that she's having.
And it already has,
the eggs of her grandchildren.
That was it.
And the,
and like the whole room gasped. Yeah. And then you had the story about blueberries.
Yeah.
Which was,
so Blueberries was written, it was inspired by the moment that I got to tell my dad about Isla before he passed away. Because Katie had this app on her phone. And the app had, day by day, how big the baby was getting. So it'd be like, oh, today the baby's the size of like an apple seed. Today the baby's the size of like a pomegranate seed, right? And the day we got the ultrasound, the first one where we could see the heartbeat, she was the size of a blueberry. So it's about kind of seeing that little heart, seeing the little heartbeat in the ultrasound and getting a chance to tell my dad about her.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
Yeah. That night was just, I mean, really all of the nights that I've done the show have been really remarkable. But that night, I mean, people were like leaving. They're like, I had somebody like, I had to go. Like, I was just like overwhelmed, you know, and like, it was emotional, but it was beautiful. I thought it was great. It was such a great night of songwriting and storytelling. And then, you know, you got me like cracking dumbass jokes at the end of it, just for the levity.
It was so important. It was so needed.
Like, I'm going to do one about time I got drunk. Here we go. Like, that's how I've been my whole life, though. It's like, if it gets like, I'm like, oh, God, this is such a sweet moment, I'm going to fuck it up. All right. But so what's next for you? What's in the cards?
Well, so I actually have three very unique shows coming up.
Okay.
They're all super different from each other. So coming up April 5th, Eric, Tim Brosnan, and I were playing live at the Linda. Mm-hmm. So that's like a local event that they throw once a month. It's going to be with Precious Metals and Bent.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm super excited about that. And it's going to be kind of a three-piece incarnation of a lot of the like the Astronaut album. We're also going to play some Stellar Young songs. We're going to play, we're just going to play it all in a kind of a unique way, in a way that's never really been done before. Cause it's going to be me on guitar, playing with like a baritone guitar.
Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen you play the keys.
Yeah.
But
at the acoustic night, I guess.
The acoustic night, sure. But like whenever you've been with a band, you've always been just not just the front man, but like occasionally with a little keyboard, but mostly just up singing and stuff. Yeah. So that's awesome. Just in case this doesn't get out before April 5th, though, because I think I have a two-parter coming up, so I do apologize, but I'll share that because I'm going to be in Syracuse. I'm so bummed that Eric told me. He was like, the fifth, and I'm like, fuck. Because, you know, I would have been like belly up to the stage, like, you know, like a creep. So after that, though.
After that, April 9th, I'm doing Song City Troy.
Okay.
That's going to be like very different from that. It's just going to be me and acoustic guitar. I'm going to play some unreleased music.
Okay.
Stuff that's not been recorded or put out there. Because a lot of what it is to perform songs that maybe are brand new in like an intimate setting, but then also talking about the process of songwriting. It's really, really cool. It's going to be at The Ruck in Troy, and definitely check that out. And who knows, if the songs don't go well, this might be the only time they're performed. You don't know, you know?
Listen, so that's how that goes sometimes. I just recently got my Patreon page kind of up and going again. And part of it is like, I might play a song for these people that never gets played again, because you know the finicky nature behind creating something like that. I have written things where, like, one night I'm like, this is the best fucking thing I've ever written in my life. I should be famous. Somebody's going to buy this from me. This is it. And then the next day I'm like, this is absolute garbage. This will never hear the light of day. I have one that I wrote. It's complete. I got parts. I got horn parts.
Yeah.
Done. Started recording it. I'm like, I hate this. I played it live like once or twice. I'm like, I hate it. I hate it.
Hmm.
Like, maybe I could work with somebody and change it and make it different or make it better. But like, I hate the song. Like, not just this. I hate it. So.
I totally understand. Yeah. There's like 100 songs that have just died in the voice memos, you know, because like. And sometimes you look back and you can find like the endearing qualities of it.
Sure.
Right. Or the tone that it was going for, you know, but when you go and you take that step to try to flesh it out after all the time had gone by, it's like that spark is already,
you can't put any more energy into it. It's like, yeah, but it's the weirdest thing because it's like, oh, maybe I could take a little piece of it. And it's like, no, it's just like, nope, we just need to start over. Like it just has like almost like bad energy in it now. Cause you've just like, nope, we're just going to write a completely different song. It's going to be a ballad instead. It's going to be in a different key.
Yeah.
Like, get away from me. You don't even want to know like the lyrics. And it's like, I mean, I know that we're all a little bit insane to do this kind of thing in the first place, but like, that just makes me always feel like completely crazy when I go through that.
There's this weird kind of madness with like writing songs.
It's necessary.
Kind of insanity. I can't even put a finger on it. I mean, like, I'm kind of curious. What is your songwriting process? When you sit with a guitar, what is like your first thing that, like, what are your kind of steps?
I don't have a process because when I just sit and try and do that, I spit out garbage.
Uh-huh.
So I try to like pick times where I sit and play and see what'll happen, but mostly this is how it's always worked for me. And when I say work, I use that loosely because it doesn't always work, is something pops into my head and I try and get some of it down as quick as I can.
So you're driving in your car.
Sing into a voice memo.
Something pops in your head, a phrase, you sing it into a voice memo, and then you go back and you try to add the instrumentation to it?
Hopefully, yes. So that's why I said it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it's the middle of the night and I'm like, do I stay up right now and try and get some of this out? Yeah. And sometimes I will.
Mm-hmm.
Today it worked out. Today was a good day. I was reaching. I get up every day. I'm getting a good routine where I walk like a mile or two on my treadmill. Because I'm ADD, I have to also be watching something on one iPad, and I got another iPad that I'm doing a New York Times crossword puzzle on. Otherwise, I won't walk. Okay? And all of a sudden, I'm like, cool, I just did 2 miles. Like, fuck, it's working for me. Whatever. That's what I do. And so I went to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
When I got done, you have to bend and lean around and do it. And as I was going to turn it off, I thought about how sometimes, like, it would have been easier if I had gone the other way around, but I was already committed to this position, this like cobra yoga bullshit that I was doing to reach this button. Mm-hmm. And I realized how often I do that kind of thing. And so the line was like, I do things the hard way sometimes. And so like, I just stopped and I just wrote it down and I mm-hmm. picked up the guitar and literally had a song like 10, 15 minutes later.
Wow.
And I like it today. We'll see how I feel tomorrow. But I've been thinking about that thought for the longest time. Like I got in my car the other day and you say I wear like the long like trench coats mm-hmm. and my phone was in my back pocket. Mm. I could have gotten out of the car, opened the jacket, pulled the phone out, closed the coat, got back in the car, 3-4 seconds. Mm-hmm. But no, I tried to get my arm in down behind my ass through the jacket while I'm in the car, while I'm in the seatbelt, the mm-hmm. whole time going, there's an easier way to do this. But once I commit to it, I'm like, no, now I just, it like,
I have to get it done.
I can't grab it. I have like 2 fingers on it. I can't get it. Like 15 minutes goes by. I'm like, this is why you're always late. Mm-hmm. And so the theme, that was kind of like the theme of the song is like how stubborn I am. But how sometimes I really make that work for me. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to finish it, whether it's good or bad. Like mm-hmm. it's gonna get done.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's more good than bad for these stubborn habits that I have. But that was what came out today. And thank God, like I had a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
So that's my process, if you can call it that. How about you?
Well, it's interesting that you said spit garbage, you know? Actually, that's
so poetic. I mean,
I think pretty early.
Let me write that down real quick. Spit garbage. Okay.
Cause that's actually like kind of my first step of my process.
Yeah.
The people who know who I've worked with for a long time know that a lot of times I'm usually like a chord progression first person. I'll feel out some chords that I like that I think have like a mood, a feel to it, or like the rhythm, you know? And then I'll literally sing garbage, like gibberish, things that don't even, if you listen to some of my voice memos, there's not even words. It's like indecipherable. It's just really, I'm trying to nail down like a melody and a rhythm.
And then do you hear like word parts? Like it sounds like the word brown, but I know I don't want to say brown.
Like, yeah. There's like vowels and consonants. Yeah. I'm almost like chiseling away what I'm. And I'm like, actually, I find that when I finally have like a phrase that has a finite number of syllables, mm-hmm. suddenly I know what I want to say and how I want to say it.
That's okay.
And then once I have that, I can build from that. And I just try things until it sounds true to the song.
Okay.
You know?
I do something similar when I have the patience for it and when I don't get too distracted. But like occasionally, like today, I wrote a phrase and I tried not to edit it too much. I was like, it doesn't have to make total sense all the time. Like you think about, okay, prime example. I love Adele. Mm-hmm. I think she's great. Mm-hmm. If you sat and read her fucking lyrics, she sounds like an idiot. Okay. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Can you think of any off the top of your
head? I absolutely can.
Yeah.
When We Were Young.
Okay.
Let me hold you like the photograph. Like it doesn't make any fucking sense. Oh, hold on. I tried to do this on stage one time, like in a comedy show. But it's like When We Were Young. Like before I moved away, went overseas, but it's just this run-on sentence.
Mm, yeah.
We're like even Rolling in the Deep. What the fuck does that even mean? Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. Her songs are great. I can listen to them all day. I'm not challenging her, but lyrically sit and really like think about it. Now I have to look it up. Now I have to know, but like, let me hold you in my heart. It's just this run-on sentence. Like, we'll have to find it later.
I'm so curious. I'm very curious. I kind of like lyrics like that sometimes.
Well, today I wrote the line, time's been had.
Mm.
Like, time has been had. Like, it's already been spent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's just what I wanted to fucking say there. And I don't care if it doesn't grammatically make sense. That's just what came out. And I had to go like, that's it.
It's more important how it feels than what the, you know, I think it, that the, I mean, music by nature is kind of, it's poetry.
Yeah.
It's kind of figurative, right? So
I just needed you to validate me. So thank you. Yeah.
So when people, it's what's more important is the feeling true, and what are people, is it evocative? Are people kind of applying their own experiences to the lyrics?
More often than not, I don't think that people really pay attention to the lyrics. Like you and I would.
Mm-hmm.
Gen pop, not so much.
Hmm.
I mean, clearly, if you think about the way people relate to certain songs, and that's great, relate to them how you feel. But, you know, the people that the biggest one that I bring up all the time is the song Alleluia. It's one of the greatest songs ever written, I think. Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And people will ask that to be played at their weddings.
Hmm.
Or their funerals, or like the Sandy Hook Memorial. It's not appropriate for any of those things if you really are like looking into the lyrics and thinking about what that song is really about.
Hmm.
And people just hear the word Alleluia and they're like, well, it's just spiritual. Mm-hmm. And it is, but it's not spiritual in the way, like, I had to be very clever with finding the right verse for this guy's wedding because he insisted on this song. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that part. I can't do this part. That's not going to fucking work, you know? Right. But so I don't think that people really, we obviously obsess about it more than they ever will.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people really pay attention to lyrics as much as they should.
It's interesting. I'm curious, you know. I think some people are very like melody driven or are melody centric when they hear music. They listen just for the melodies, right?
A good hook.
Yeah. And some people are very like lyrical people. I mean, like I think of like Bob Dylan, of course, right? Like lyrical master, right?
Yeah.
And I would say in his like his music probably comes, or his melodies probably come secondary to his lyrics.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Some of my favorite artists are not known for having the best voices because that's never what it's been about for me.
Right.
Like I love like Ricky Lee Jones. I mean, I like her voice. She doesn't have a voice that a lot of people would call like a classic. Like I've just heard other people's opinions.
Yeah.
But I'm not listening to that. I'm listening to what she's saying, and she's writing these fucking stories, and I feel like I'm hanging out on the street with her. Like back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like she paints a goddamn picture.
Yeah.
Or like Tom Waits. Back to Tom Waits.
Right, Tom Waits. I was thinking of Tom Waits when you said that.
He's not going to sing you a fucking lullaby, you know? I mean, I can fall asleep to it because I'm sick in the head, but you know, it's like...
I love his voice.
I do too.
I love his voice, yeah.
But like you listen to it around somebody that, you know, doesn't, they're like, what the fuck is this?
And what you're is
like,
this gravelly?
Listen to what he's talking about, man. Yeah. Fuck it. You know, like, oh, God, it's like Tom Charbert's blues. Like I cry when I listen to that, you know, and people are like covering their ears. But I think, you know, maybe I'm not giving enough people enough credit. I'm sure more people listen to the lyrics than I think. But in my experience, I find that people are more about the hook, the melody, and that's fine. That's wonderful.
And the real magic was when you can have both, right?
That is the real magic. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the, you know, some of the Beatles songs I think of, right? Where the melodies are killer. And then you look at the lyrics and they also are great. You know?
Yeah.
So
very rare combo, I think.
Yeah.
I always try, I think one of the hardest things for me is when I'm writing is like trying to not make it difficult, but change it up a little bit so it doesn't have the risk of sounding like something else without overcomplicating it. You know, it's like the one that I started out today. It was like a 1-4-5 for a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm going to throw in a little 3-6 and then maybe I'll make this major into a minor and then, you know, and I'm like, all right, stop. Like you've added too many ingredients now. It's all right. So like, don't oversalt it.
But. Yeah. It is like cooking, right? It's a lot like cooking.
Well, I was thinking about that, how much like cooking it was before when I was talking about just throwing it all away and starting over.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you're like, you can't rebake that pie.
It's true. you can't unburn the ingredients.
If you take it out too early, you can't put it back in. Like it's just done. Like you got to start, you got to get your fucking dough. It's just a mess.
Right.
I don't even like pie. So you said you had three things. I'm sorry, we're all over the place. So after the ninth?
On the top of my head, I forget the date.
That's all right.
May 18th.
Okay.
Emo night.
Oh.
Which is, I've never done that before. Emo night here in Albany. I'm going to just cover a lot of like old pop punk emo songs. And I'm going to play a few originals as well.
Okay.
But I'm actually really excited about it.
Where's
because
that?
Because this is going to be at Lark Hall.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be fun because that, like, I'm going to have to dig back through like my high school CDs and stuff that I used to rock out to and find some tracks that I'm going to cover. So we'll see.
Emo. I was talking to, again, our friend Eric Flora, by the way. I love Eric. He and I were talking. Yeah, right. You want to make sure? He and I were talking. I was trying to experiment a little with some drop tuning. And I said, if you could like give me like a song to just, you know, like listen to and try to learn just to see, you know, just to play around with it. Yeah. And he was like, I think he said like, it's like Dashboard Anthem or something. Oh, okay. And he was like, super fucking emo, super emo. And I'm like, like, am I going to kill myself? Like, how emo is this? Yeah. Like, you know, is it a little, I was like, is it emo that will like actually affect me or emo that I'm going to laugh at? He goes, emo, you'll probably laugh at. I'm like, all right, I can handle that. Like, I don't need to, you know, go down that path today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just, you know, again, just trying new things to see. And sometimes I think I'm going to just try and learn other songs just to maybe make a mistake while I'm doing it and turn it into something of mine.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little process that I'm going to experiment with.
Yeah. Take a song that's the opposite genre as you can get and totally reinvent it.
I don't know if it's going to be emo, but you know,
yeah, maybe not. Maybe you won't be hearing any Taking Back Sunday coming from you, but
absolutely not. Do you have any new music that you're working on or?
Yeah. So, I try to give myself like a bit of like a exercise. I just kind of work on some songs. I definitely have a lot of songs in the back burner that I'm dying to take over to Dave and get those recorded.
All right.
So it'll be a follow-up, probably like an EP.
Very cool. Now, did you do like a release party anywhere or
you just
did something online, right?
Yeah. I didn't do any release party. I guess Linda will be like one of the first shows where we're kind of playing through all the songs and in a live sense. So,
okay.
There we go. That's the release party.
Yeah. All right. Like it, right?
Yeah.
No, I wish I could be there. Honestly, that sounds so much fun. I'm so bummed. God damn it. Why do I have to work myself all the time?
Well,
such is life.
It's because you're such a hard worker.
Yeah. It's so funny because things have been very slow lately. And it just cracks me up that no matter how busy or not busy I am, when I see people, they're like, oh, you've been busy. And I'm like, I really haven't though. Like, you just don't know what to say.
It really seems that way from the outside looking, you know, just.
Well, somebody saw like my Facebook banner, which has all of my upcoming dates, but yeah. Like that used to be just like 1 month and now I've got it like through May.
Gotcha.
And they're like, well, and I'm like, yeah, that used to be like a week in July a few years ago, back when I was cracked out and thought I had to play like every single second that I was awake, which, you know, no, I'd started taking, you know, quality over quantity and calming that down a little bit. And also just wasn't sustainable. I was like, I'm not giving even 75% at any of these shows because I'm exhausted, you know? But yeah, so it's like, I laugh. I'm like, yeah, it looks like a lot, but it's really, you know, people are like, are you busy? I'm like, no, maybe I am. I don't know.
Yeah. I think you're busy. You're busier than me.
All right. Well, I don't have a kid, so no, I'm not.
it's just true.
But you work, you're a school teacher during the day.
I'm also a teacher, yeah.
What do you teach?
I teach special ed.
Oh, okay.
At Troy Middle School.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
How's that?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy.
No, it doesn't sound easy.
But it's great. I mean, teaching was something that kind of chose me in a lot of ways. I'd graduated with like a degree in music and film. I was gigging every weekend and I was like looking for a job that was kind of flexible during the week. I started out as a substitute, and then the school asked if I would be a TA in the building, and I said yes. And then this resident internship came in, and from NYU, and I did that program, and I knew that because of my like TA experiences, I knew I wanted to get into special ed, and just kind of evolved naturally from there, and I love it.
That's awesome. It's great that you can do something that you love and you can still do music on the side. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people just get completely burnt out and wiped from their day job. And that sounds like an exhausting day job. You must have truckloads of patients.
You know, I find that the two jobs kind of like really help me stay balanced in a lot of ways, you know, cause it comes with a lot of like, there is a, like a lot of, kind of like emotional stuff to it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I come home and I just kind of unleash with my, like with the music and kind of let it, and they also like, they kind of help me charge for the other job, you know? It's like,
you got a great attitude. Seriously. I know everything that I say sounds sarcastic, but that was completely genuine. I'm like, really, I'm impressed. Cause I like just the thought of that. I don't know. Like I'm just, you know, not, I don't have the patience. I don't know. Well, that's why I don't do stuff like that, because I know that I wouldn't be very good at it. So I'm always impressed with people that can do stuff like that. But that's great. Well, I hope that we get the chance to hang out again really soon.
Yeah. Come hang out with me and Kiki and the babies. Let's go.
I'm going to bring
set that up as soon as possible.
Like I said, a doll in a stroller. And just blend right in. It's going to be really creepy. You're going to love it. No, I seriously, every time, like, I mean, I've probably been to her house more in the past year since they've had the baby than like all the rest of our friendship combined. Like I'm just stopping over there with baked goods. And I mean, this little baby will like smile when he sees me and crawl towards me, and I'm just like that.
Yeah,
I'll be back tomorrow. Like that's amazing. I'm gonna get the stroller and the doll very soon. That sounds like a good time. But also,
come hang out here anytime. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, come visit Isla. You know.
I'm gonna do that. No, I would definitely love, and I want to see, especially if you and Eric get the chance to play together again when I'm not playing too. You know, I'll be belly up to that stage.
Yeah.
Yelling out songs like an asshole.
Play Mr. I, play Freebird.
I would never do that. I would never say that last thing that you said. I'd be like, Mr. I, wild, a wild. Be like, it's now the Savoy. What was it? Justin's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
Oh, yeah. Are they still doing shows?
I don't think so. No. Oh wow, took us back. All right, well, John Glenn, Like the Astronaut, how can people find you?
So Like the Astronaut on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, all those streaming platforms, and YouTube.
Yeah
pretty much everywhere. Like the Astronaut. Also check out Stellar Young, check out The City Never Sleeps.
I love that The City Never Sleeps still pops up in my phone. Like that just, I love
it's
that.
It's still floating out there in the ether somewhere.
I love it though. Cause I mean, I put it on there years ago and it's just like, it's still kicking. Every once in a while it just pops up. I'm like, So I'll share some, maybe instead of my own intro music, I'll play some of my favorite old City Never Sleep hits.
Oh, awesome. Bring it on.
I think I need to do that so that you all can hear it and we can fangirl together. John, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the podcast, and good luck with everything, and I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank
you. I love seeing you. Yeah, let's do this again.
Let's do it. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. This is Erin Harks with the Mistress of None, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harks.
That was John Glenn. I am the Mistress of None. I am Erin Harkes. It was fun. I'm so sorry to him that I wasn't able to get this out before all of the magnificent shows that he had. Not that it would have, you know, made the difference, that much of a difference anyway. But check out his music. Check him out live when you see him playing again. I had to do the two-parter Cersei, and I didn't want to. Cersei fans are intense. I didn't want to make them wait over a week to play the second half. It would have been an ugly scene. Anyway, that's about it for me today. Please keep in mind, Cafe Lena, Lena Go Round, is the last Wednesday of every month. This month, it's going to be all women. It's going to be Sydney Worthley, Natalie Santini, and my, I absolutely adore, Roseanne Vernieri. I'm so excited to have her and the rest of these gals. And that will be my last Lena Go Round until September. In May, Reese Fulmer is going to be taking over for me because I will be out of the state. But I encourage you to still go to that because it's going to be another fantastic lineup that I'm still putting together, that I'm still cultivating. So please support these things so that we can keep doing them, so that I can keep doing them. And also the first Wednesday of every month at UPH, Women Aren't Funny. In May, we've got Jane Condon. Oh my gosh, sorry, brain fart. Jane is amazing, remarkable. You're going to love her. I'm so excited to have her. These are my two big monthly shows, so please make it a habit. Make it a part of your schedule. And if you can't, send people in your place or bring friends, do whatever you can. Like, listen, share, follow, all that good stuff. I appreciate the support and everything that you can do to help me get any more support. I love it. Also, if you're interested, I've been writing a lot more, and patrons on my Patreon page have first dibs on those songs, and they're really starting to pour out of me. So I hope that you'll consider. You can do it as low as like $1 a month, which will get you some perks, and then $5 gets you more perks. And, you know, the higher up you go, the more perks you get. I'm playing those house parties. Those are completely free for certain tiers. And you can honestly name some of the rewards that you want. And we can discuss that. But check that out. It's all at erinharkes.com. Please tune back in every Wednesday for Mistress of None. Wish me luck in New York. By the time you hear this, I'll probably be on my way back. But thanks again, everybody, and I hope to see you all soon in the real world. I love you all. Take care of one another, and like, listen, share, follow, all that shit. I already said that already. So thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good week. Bye.
You're listening to the Mistress of None podcast with Erin Harkes.